Hello there, this is Terry Denise, a Lansing Community College student and your host of Ripper, an LCC Connect podcast where I interview others and ask about their unique efforts and connections in, around, and beyond the community of Michigan's capital city. Good day. Hi, how are you doing? How's it going? I am Terry Denise, by the way. Welcome to Ripper. I had a dream where there was a little black kitten and she was hanging out by a bayou. There were two coffins and a couple of crocodiles or alligators. I can't remember which one are the ones that exist in America naturally. But they were hanging out and there's this little kitten roaming about and it just keeps greeting everybody. And it kept saying, hi, how you doing? And it is often said that your dreams are a reflection of something that you're going through or some part of yourself or some part of your being. So I don't mind seeing myself as a little cute black kitten in my dream, like literally addressing everyone around them, even if it's crocodiles or alligators roaming about. And just addressing everyone with the consideration and hello, you are a thing. It's nice to, you're a thing going around. Hi, how you doing? And that's great though. By the way, the alligator slash crocodile did not attack the kitten. They saw the kitten and I believe they acknowledged it and were also shocked and surprised that the kitten wasn't running away from their teeth. I believe they let out kind of a growl and then just kind of looked away and were... Then they, the two crocodiles, or maybe it was a crocodile and an alligator, maybe they were the ones that turned into coffins, I believe, which is kind of an interesting thing. Deep, deep analysis I'll have to get into on that one day. But yeah, it's one of those things that I've always carried around with me was to address people as though they are my best friend in the world. And that comes from probably a little bit of an overzealous nature that I have that sprang up from being around and within certain faculties and facilities that encouraged you to treat another person as though they are your best friend, or if they're a new person, you turn to greet them, give them a handshake, give them a hug, and they are welcome as you want to be welcome with them as well, in a great way, not to give out to only receive back, and that's your motivation. No, the motivation is to simply, hey, you're a person. It's nice to greet you. It's nice that you're here. Or, hey, you're another being. It's nice to see you. Wow, I get a chance to meet another thing. This is great. There's more things out here that are responding. It is grand. And that's been a way of life for me for a very long time. I don't know how I've survived through that because treating others a particular way that don't want to treat you the same way, or just the energies around you that don't treat you the same way, sometimes kind of comes and kicks you on the butt a little bit. I've found out it's heart-wrenching and life-affirming, and also just a part of maturity, I guess, that one can reach where they find out that you're not necessarily going to find the same kind of personalities that are as accepting or want to know who you are at all. And that's okay. It's good to know. It's good to accept that. It's good to understand that. And then it's good to move on with your life. And it had made me a little bit apprehensive around folks, around others at some point to be challenged with so much negativity growing up. But in the end, it's not that, it's more just understanding that I don't have to have people that are negative in my life. That was one of those weird brain tricks that happened as I was growing up was that I was fed this kind of imagery and statements that suggested to always forgive and always want to be friends again with someone that you've made some kind of falling out that may have proceeded to happen at some point. There are things, there are suggestions that one can make to themselves to keep you in a different way of thought, and just it's the always turn the other cheek and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, I kind of got tired of that to the point where I was like, nobody's seeing my cheeks. We're going to keep it that way. I'm going to hide them. My cheeks are under sideburns that I can't grow. But they're under a metaphorical sideburn. I'm going to keep my cheeks hidden. Nobody's going to be here to shun. So I'm just going to stay away from them all. And that doesn't help when you're trying to get things done. See, because I've been trying to get things done myself. That's why I needed to come back to school. I needed to finish things that I had started. I needed to make more of an effort in remotivating my confidence and getting down to the nitty-gritty of who I am, why I'm here, and making a reason for why I'm here. Because it's not just one of those things that you get fed all the time. You know, oh, you're great at doing this. You should be doing that. And then somebody takes the suggestion. Okay. No, sometimes people don't get that at all. So you just kind of aimlessly suffer. But that's not cool. But when you do have that other end of yourself that's just perpetually positive, because you get instilled with that as a youngin', sometimes that is the only thing that is carrying you forward or carrying you across and through the challenges that can come at you and accost you and try to take everything away from you. Now, I do know a bit about things being taken away from me, unfortunately, and I also stand guard on that. I like to say the appreciations for all of my things being protected and all of my valuables as far as property goes. And one of the inspirational things that I found was being able to realize that my own mother is a DIY performer. She's an entertainer. She had recorded music herself ever since I remember. I was just hanging around her ankles while she would be doing the double tape recording sessions, so she would produce, edit, mix, and perform everything that she did, as well as scoring her own music. And then she found out how to copyright her own music and would start sending things in to different kinds of labels. So I had a notion of understanding a DIY perspective that wasn't necessarily, she did a lot of more, I wouldn't say it's gospel. She was more of kind of an alternative artist. It definitely religious. It wasn't something you would hear on MTV anytime, but she was definitely performing gospel-esque music. But I admired her personal ability to just be able to do whatever it was that she wanted to do herself. We don't have the same kind of music that we do. we're coming from two different areas of influence on that portion, but I am influenced, of course, 100% by my own mother, because I wouldn't be interested in music and singing and writing my own lyrics, writing my own music. I would have no interest if I didn't grow up in a family that actually did that themselves. I didn't realize until I started reading, let's say, Henry Rollins, Get in the Van kinds of books, or hearing Ian MacKay, Fugazi, Minor Threat, all of those punk guys talk about DIYing, do it yourself, and getting things done yourself, because nobody else was offering you a $1 million contract or anything. So it's like, well, how do I get the distribution? How do I make my own music? How do I get these things pressed? How can I, let's say, even market? Where can I make shirts? you know, how can I get a shirt made? How do they, we've got Cream Magazine that gets out here all the time. How can I just make my own magazine? And finally somebody was like, yeah. How do you think they got their start? How do you think these other businesses got their start? They just literally started doing it. So you got zines out of the punk aesthetic and ethic of doing things more for yourself and not waiting around for somebody to tell you whether or not you can do that. So that's coming along with this weird positive attitude that springs up out of nowhere, even when I'm in some places. It's still a part of me to combine those frequencies and those levels of being able to just go for it. So I get that in the background with my mother's ethic when she was being like punk. And I mean, that's also being a woman and having kids and running a household on top of everything else. She was also, and working, she was also doing this herself and putting her own efforts into her enterprise and into her interest. And it wasn't just a hobby. I guess when you're a creative or a musician, artist, there's particular people that do consider those things hobbies, but there's the rest of us where it's just a part of your life. That is just a part of what you do. It's not just something that you are leaving and come back to, like building one of those little rocket ships or something. It's not like that. It's more of a, I would always consider music my actual first language, because I understand and I can interpret that language better than I can for a speaking language. Music was also the first thing that I took to when hearing, or let's just say feeling, vibrations from even when my mother would stomp her foot, or if she was playing a particular instrument, or if she was on drums, you know, you get the vibrations. Or even me, when I was playing my toy drums that I received when I was a baby, those little, I think it was a Fisher-Price set where you would get a toy drum set. I think I still have this. You have a toy drum set, and it came with a harmonica, a toy harmonica, some tambourines, and I believe a couple of cymbals. And drumsticks, and I believe that was one of my favorite things to play. But anyway, when you feel the vibrations of things and you can interpret that, that's going back to the womb, because those are the first sounds you're hearing, are the one who is carrying you around, their heartbeat. When you're in that chamber, those are the first efforts of life that you're hearing, and then you also have your own that's going. So you have these two patterns that are going at the same time, and they're two heartbeats. Those are the lifelines. We're born with our own rhythm, and then born under another rhythm that we are forming with at the same time. And that's, I believe, another reason why it's such a great thing when you have a child, when you have an infant and a newborn, putting them up against your chest is such a, that will, if they're, you know, having their time, being fussy and whatnot, if you're putting them against your chest and they get to listen to their heart, to your heartbeat, that calms them down, because that's like home. Oh, okay. I'm safe. Everything's okay. All right. I remember this. So getting back to the whole structure of DIYing and going with your own vibe, going with your own heartbeat, music being a first kind of language that I, once in a while, I'll put that down on applications or something, depending on the kind of application it is. But that is, it's a thing. It's its own vibe. It's its own, it has its own notes. Notes are letters. Every note can be accounted for. It can be written. It can be put on a scale. It can be interpreted as a certain level of timbre or a certain degree of notation, of vibration, to make a sound. And when that carries through, another person can interpret that, and they interpret that the way that they can. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. And then you can put more notes on more notes. You make words with music. So that's why I consider that my first language. For the DIY structure, when I think about my mother as being punk in her way, for being able to do that. She's the one that she had keyboards set up. She had her recording equipment set up. And I learned that from the get, although I was very apprehensive about it because I was nervous about making sound my own. Because I grew up around a person that was very amazing to me. And the way that she went about doing her thing was very, very intimidating. So I just would do my own thing. There was an acoustic guitar around that I would play very, very quietly because I didn't want anybody knowing what I was doing. I even had piano lessons and I shied away from that because I had a freak out one summer and I was like, I can't do anything. I don't want to do anything and I'm scared because I am gonna have to perform in front of people. And I don't think I can do that. I'm afraid, I'm intimidated, and it's going to be me by myself putting on a recital instead of me being with my friends and going on stage and we're just doing our cheerleading and sequences or our choreographed dances in front of people. I had my other people with me, so it's all good. I can just fade into the line. And I had to learn that I don't fit into a line. I just can't. Which it's so amazing to reconcile with the fact that it's not just being a grown up. It's not just, oh, you're maturing now. It's like, no. I already knew this. I just was around so many people that were also taking up my space. They were so in my face and in my space, and whether it was, you know, dealing with bullies or anything like that. It makes you feel like, oh, okay, so I'm just going to stay in this little place in my little hovel and cubby hole and whatnot. And I guess I'll just stay here and be quiet and be intimidated by everybody. And I'll just stay there and do that. And it was like, no. Somewhere along the way, it just became one of those things. And that was definitely hearing the Ramones and the Misfits, hearing a lot more punk music, and of course the Stooges, Michigan's Own and Finest. When I heard the backbeat of a lot of punk music, I was like, this is it. I love it. I saw the look and I was like, that's totally great. I like everything about this. I love it. Sex Pistols, you know, out here, blah, blah, you know, oh, in your face. Right. Very, very metal, blah, 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 or whatever. You know, I was like, I really reconcile with all this because I don't feel like I fit in. And then I realized I'm never going to fit in ever because I have to be on my own. I had some jobs that were, I've had many jobs where I felt as though I've made it. I can make my way through. I can just do my job. I need these paychecks, of course, and I'm gonna fulfill my responsibilities and duties. And a lot of them did not work out, not very well at all. I will say, for one of the ones that I lost, a couple were very near and dear heartbreaking because I'd put a lot of effort into what I do, and I'm very honest and I go by structure really well, and I do a very good job because I want to. That's it. And get out of my way, I guess. Or I guess I got pushed out of the way or let go out of the way because I was sometimes doing too good of a job, and it made people feel weird about themselves. I had to realize that it wasn't me. And that was a very come-to moment. That was a very, okay, I get it. I just need to find where I'm going to, where it's not a mark being made. It's where I want to put my efforts in. It's where I want my energies to be. It's where I can learn and also feel like I'm not fighting people on doing a better job. And one of the jobs I had was at a venue, and I only asked for one night off to see this one performer. And the person in charge of the hiring decided they did not want me around anymore and decided to fire me the week before that performer was slated to come in. The reason why this performer was so important for me was because they were one of those people, along with some of the guys from The Whitest Kids You Know, doing podcasts. This one performer, though, was doing a podcast, and he got me through some times because I was seeing a person that was doing the same thing I was doing. He was coming in his house. He was cleaning off all of his canned goods, every single thing that he got delivered. It was like, all right. And he would be on the camera and you'd see him with the wipes and it's just like, it's time to clean. It's time to clean. And I'm like, that's what I'm doing. But it, going along, seeing him perform it, just in his place, he was just making music and hanging out with his puppy. And being funny, and then you would see him go through a hard time as well, but get through it. And I was like, oh, I'm getting through it too. This is great. So it was one of those things where I was like, I get to see this person live, and I really want to be able to. I don't know if I'll be able to talk to him, but of course I would take advantage of working at the place to just at least say, thank you so much, and that would be it. It turns out, I didn't, you know, of course I got fired. So of course I'm not going to go to the show. Of course I didn't have my freebie spot to get into that, to go see him perform. But I did not even, this was not a setup. Sometimes kismet, fate, it's supposed to happen. Because what ended up happening was that I had to run an errand and ended up crossing pathways with that person who just so happened to be hanging out, walking up and down the street when I had to go run an errand that happened to be in the same area, but it was only because the facility that I needed to go to was a post office, was around the corner. And so it was just one of those random things. I was surprised. He filmed talking to me and I got to say my thank you to him personally, and it wasn't a setup, and it wasn't because I was working at the place, because I wasn't working there anymore. And it was one of those times in my life where I was just, I had to put my hands up in the air and I said, okay, I'm not in the wrong here. I'm not in the wrong. The person that fired me put out a note that said that I did not do anything, but I was definitely cleaning urinals. I'll tell you that much. Once you get the stink of a urinal in your nostril, it doesn't go away. So for whatever case, I relished in that moment. I still do, and I appreciate the graces that that person put upon me. Anyway, not fitting in, DIY, just go for it. Do it yourself. Get a job. That's what it's all about. I'm much better, I realized as well, as a contract worker. I like working on my own, and I like getting started on a small business where I really, really want to not only learn copyright laws, but to help other people out to make sure that they can own exactly what they put out there, just like my mother did, and just like all these punk guys that, and punk people, I should say, learn how to do on their own. All right, well, that's my time. Get out there. You don't have to sit in. You don't have to stand in the crowd. You do not have to stand in the line. You can push yourself out of your comfort zone once in a while and say, hey, how you doing? To a random person, and hopefully they react in a positive way. All right. You guys take it easy. This is Terry Denise, and this has been Ripper. Thanks for tuning in to Ripper. You can find more about this and other LCC Connect podcasts at lccconnect.com.